Well, today we start the second of our series, or continue in the second of our series, in things that Christians struggle with. Last week we looked at the struggle that we have with unity. What is unity? We looked at that. I'm not going to repeat what we did last week. I suggest that you think well of a good. It's really worthwhile re-listening to that topic, because I think it's something that Christians really struggle with. Unity was the heart of God, we saw last week, and still is the heart of God, I should say. It's part of God's plan for us as his people, unity around God's plan and purpose, not just about anything. And we saw last week it was a necessary outworking of our salvation. In other words, unity is not something that we can put on the side and say, I'll think about that later. And today, we're looking at what the Christian struggle with pornography should be like. Now, I wonder whether you think pornography is really a problem. Is it a problem for church attenders? Let's say for church attenders here, let's narrow it down in this service, across the three services. Do you think porn, is a problem for us? Well, before I answer that question, let me try and give you a definition of pornography. Porn is pictures. Porn is words. Porn is videos. Things that are used by us and others to arouse us sexually. That's my big working definition of porn. So what does that include? Well, pretty much half of the, three quarters maybe, all of the ads that we see on TV. As sex is used to sell anything from house bricks to cars. Some girl who's looking at me, scantily clad, with a look on her face that says, I wouldn't mind having sex with you, Rick, and buy my house bricks while you're at it. That's the sort of stuff we live with, isn't it? We've got it everywhere, all the time. Soft porn, I'll call that. Advertising, the family-friendly movie, the person who's scantily dressed. I'm going to speak of it from a male perspective. I think it's slightly different for women, but not completely different, the sort of porn that they will look at. Porn is all around us because sex sells. And there's the other sort of porn, the explicitly sexual acts porn, not just on the internet, but certainly there. When I was growing up, if you're game enough to look at porn, sometimes someone would be really game and put something on the notice board at school. You had to be there within about 2.5 seconds because the teachers confiscated it. But now, whenever I want, whenever I don't want, at no cost to me, although, as I say, no economic cost to me, it will destroy me, I can access porn. Things have changed, haven't they? And some people tell us that porn is art. I'm not convinced it's a form of art, and I'm not convinced it's part of advertising. I think that actually misunderstands the impact it has on us. It's a sidetrack, so I'm not going to enter into that side of things. Porn, that soft porn, the stuff that we breathe, unfortunately, and every other version of porn has saturated our society. It is so freely and easily available for us. It is common, it is normalised, and because of this, its reach is always going to be far and wide into my heart and your heart, into our church, into the lives of people who follow Jesus. So it would be foolish for us to think that that's a problem that others have to deal with. It has already impacted the lives of followers of Jesus. Well, we read about it in Proverbs 5. It talked about adultery there. Pornography is just visual adultery, or mental adultery if it's going on in the head. The people who are followers of Jesus, us included, need to be open and honest with the struggle that pornography puts for us. And yet, most people who are addicted to pornography will fail to seek help. Or can I use the word, most people who use pornography, for there is no real addiction, no difference between that and addiction, will fail to see help. It is common in our churches. statistics of churches who do not think there's much porn in the church, who've done surveys, often are surprised, if not always surprised. It mostly includes us blokes as users, but it certainly includes women as users, as I mentioned before, maybe in a different style or format. And let me can also say that it includes gospel-hearted, Bible-believing pastors as well. They are just as vulnerable to pornography as everyone else. As one bloke I heard say when he was interviewed, "When do you think you'll be free from sexual sin?" He thought about it for a moment and said, "When I've been dead for at least 3 days." I think there's some great wisdom in that. I could quote the statistics, and if statistics are true, they're quite shocking. But the problem with statistics is that people, particularly with pornography, feel a sense of shame, and so they don't talk about it. And it's also argued that they feel a sense of bravado and so overemphasise it. So, well, what does the statistic mean? Let me suggest to us that in Bible-believing, gospel-hearted churches just like us, there is a significant problem with pornography. And I'm not saying you're a user and I'm not. I'm talking about there being a significant problem with pornography. It would be foolish for us to ignore it. So today I want to look at why pornography is our problem, not just mine, not just yours, it's our problem, both as individuals and as a society and as a church. I want to look at why it's a problem. What does pornography do to me and to you and to us? And then I want to look at how we can flee pornography in our lives, both as individuals and as a church. So that's where we're going to go. We'll probably be here for about 4 hours. And that's not even covering anything in any depth. That's just skimming over the surfaces. Why don't I pray for us? Our Lord and our God, we pray that your word, through the work of your Spirit, will give us the courage to flee sexual sin. Help me to be clear. Help us to be serious about it. Help none of us to think that it doesn't apply to us. Help us as a church to seek your glory in our lives. And we ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. My gut feeling is that I don't need to tell you that it's wrong. Most of the Christians I've met who are struggling with pornography are struggling because they know it's wrong. But just in case you think pornography's wrong, and I have heard someone argue, well, it's just pictures, and they didn't know me, I guess you could even argue it's AI-generated pictures. It's not even a real person. No one says to you that Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 says, when you look lustfully at anyone that's not your spouse, that's adultery. And pornography has the very idea of you not necessarily looking just with your eyes, but turned on with your heart by someone who's not your spouse. Therefore, you cannot ever argue that porn is okay if you're a Christian. Porn's whole goal is to get you to look lustfully at something or someone. More often than not, someone whose lives has been destroyed by your looking. I'm not aware of any follower of Jesus who's tried to tell me that it's okay, but I thought I'd cover it just in case. There are the ignorant marriage counsellors that might tell people who are married, who are having trouble with their marriage, in particular with sex in their marriage, well, why don't you watch porn together and then try and recreate it? That is foolish advice, and I'll explain a little bit more why. Studies on that, by the way, why is it foolish advice? It's not just because I say so, but when you look at what pornography does to married couples and their sexual relationship, it will always be bad advice. So the study after study, not run by churches that hate sex, but study after study, so it shows that pornography usage is destructive to marriages. So we know it's wrong. We're going to start there. It's deeply addictive. It's the use of heroin is just as addictive as the use of pornography. And so therefore, it's people who dabble in it can quickly become, very quickly become addicted to it. I'm not going to go into why it works that way. You can read stuff on it. I've got stuff you can read if you wanted to, a few websites I can show you how it works in your brain and in the way that you operate to make you addictive. But you can find out that later. We know it's wrong. That's the point I'm making. It's freely available, though, isn't it? I mentioned before that it was harder for me to get it growing up because I had to go down to a news agency. I lived in a community. The news agent person knew me, so I wasn't going to be doing that, was I? There was stuff that turned up on the notice board at school. It cost money, but now it's there. It's there for everyone at no cost. It's easily accessible. It's deeply addictive. Can you see why it can easily become a problem? So how does it harm us as individuals, as you and me as an individual? How does pornography harm us? Well, I'm not going to explain all the details because we do not have the time, but if you want to know more, please ask. Four ways it will harm you as an individual. So this is why knowing the damage it will do to you is part of actually a reason not to even go there. It's a bit like our Proverbs 5. You follow that girl to that place, this is what it's going to do to you. And by the way, if you think it's the girl's fault, it's talking about a girl in Proverbs 5 because he's talking to his son. And so if he's talking to his daughter, he might change the sexes. Pornography will impact you this way. It'll rewire your brain so it becomes the thing your brain seeks out. It won't be something you think about it. That's why it's addictive. Study after study shows that addiction takes place so quickly, it's as bad as the most powerfully addictive drugs that we have, heroin and cocaine. It will rewire you very quickly. Porn wrecks your real sex. So if you like sex, if you think you're going to like sex because you haven't indulged in it yet, then porn will wreck it. It'll wreck it for an individual. The point I'm making here is that regardless of what you think of God and the boundaries that God might draw on where is the right place for sex, porn will wreck your sex life. It's not real sex. It's sex crafted for sale. Normally, when people have sex, you don't have a camera in those places. It's not comfortable. It's not relational. And so if you love your sex life, porn will wreck it. When porn is viewed, and then you try and recreate what that porn was doing in your own real relationships, it will not work. It does not work because it was never real. It never delivers what it promises. Porn will wreck good sex because, like an addictive drug, you need more and more and more stimulation for it to get the same impact that you had last time. It will destroy your libido, and study after study shows that, and it increases your sexual dysfunction. Porn will teach you how to objectify people. People in your life that you know and love will just become objects for your use, for your personal pleasure. Again, that has been well documented. Pornography will lead to you dehumanizing those people in your life so that you treat them as objects. It has led to the increase in aggression and violence towards people that you're supposed to care for. And fourthly, pornography, again, has been shown to impact people's mental health. Now, I'm not saying that if you've got a mental health struggle, it's because of pornography. I'm simply saying that the use of pornography will impact the user's mental health over the long period. So there you go. That's the starting point, how pornography will harm you. Regardless of your thoughts on God, it's how it will harm you. How will it affect your relationships? Well, I'm going to be even quicker. Pornography will impact all your relationships. It will impact particularly your relationship with your sexual partner, regardless of your views of God and where sex should happen. Pornography does this way. It pressures you to perform, to act out something you've seen that wasn't real. It, as I said before, will wreck your libido personally and the libido of your sexual partner. It will wreck your relationship with others. It will breed mistrust in your relationships as you're prepared to look at other people's starkers well, how does your spouse, your lover at the time, know you're not doing it with other people in your life besides him or her? Pornography often leads to adultery, as people who've seen stuff and thought through stuff then go and act out stuff with someone who is, well, I won't say real because the people in pornography are real, but someone who is there physically present with you at the time. There you go. That's how pornography will wreck your relationships. How does it harm us as a society? Well, there are people who make good money out of it. If you think only in economic terms, there's very few people who have made lots of money, billions of dollars. In fact, people will argue that pornography is what funds our ability to watch so much for free, look at so much for free, not pornography, but the internet. It funds the internet. All of that stuff, the infrastructure of the internet is funded, it is argued, from the use of pornography. I can't check that out, but you get an idea, it makes good money. But pretty much everyone else is a loser, and here they are, the losers in big ways. Let's look at the actors. The actors in pornography are demeaned. They're bullied and pressured. Someone I know who works as a sexologist would often say that off camera there is an awful lot of vomiting. They are pressured to do what they do. Most of them do it against their will. They do it because they need food to eat or drugs to keep them numb from drugs that they take because they need to numb the pain of their actions. It harms them because it leaves a permanent footprint out there. So later on, when they want to do something with a different line of work, it's all still going to be there. Regardless of whether they change their career, their values, their relationships, it's all there. Pornography has changed the way our society views relationships. We have sexualized relationships to the nth degree. It's about how you dress and what you show, not who you are. It has sexualized our younger generation. It's given the idea that you can have sex with anyone, regardless of relationship, with no problem. There's a website that I looked at, which sounds very dangerous when I'm talking about pornography. I followed links that I knew from website sites that I knew that has actually put together a movie or a seven-minute YouTube thingamabob, whatever you call those, that's the technical word, on people who are well-known porn stars, not to me, they weren't, but people who are famous, who are dead because of their porn star lifestyle. Drugs, murder in sex, suicide were probably the main ways that people killed or got killed or killed themselves because of their pornography actions. Those deaths directly related to the way they are treated and the way they've been objectified by their job. And then I haven't touched on sex slavery. I haven't looked at child exploitation. If you wanted to get an idea how pornography is bad for our society, regardless of your worldview on where sex should happen, then there you go. That's a brief impact on you, the people that you want to have good sex with, and the whole society that we live in. So how does it impact our relationship with God? We could spend another couple of hours here. The legalists will tell you, don't do it. God puts a boundary in there for a reason. There's a big cliff there, as I think I've already pointed out. How will pornography usage at any level affect your relationship with God? It'll wreck it. That's just the easiest way to summarise it. Porn is sinful. Remember, it gets you to look lustfully at someone who's not your spouse. So it's not good before your relationship with God. It's not part of God's plan for sex. It will actually wreck sex. It will consume you with guilt. As I said, people I've met, none of them are saying, my porn usage is a good thing before God. They know it's not. It will distract you with lust, because when you're filled thinking about sex all the time, it's very hard to do anything else. Pretty much life becomes focused on your next hit. It'll wreck your marriage if you're married, and if you're planning to get married, if you're planning to get married, it will wreck your marriage when it happens, because you'll have a wrong view of sexual intimacy in that marriage. It will wreck your family. It will wreck the way you see others. It will wreck your ability to form healthy relationships. Pornography will wreck your relationships with each other at church. Pornography will wreck any ministry desire that you have. And pornography will wreck any actual serving of God that you do. Even if you do it and feel that you can get away with it, it will wreck it. That's a summary of how pornography will affect your relationship with God. So what would you do if you're already looking at porn? Because the statistics say that all of us would be, as I said, soft porn is out there every time you turn your TV on. And the other porn, I can guarantee you that people here are users. Some regular, some occasional. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So let me suggest to us that if we are going to be serious about tackling porn in our lives and our lives together as a church, we will need to help people put it to death, help each other put it to death. It's a big thing to crucify something. That's not something you do without a thought, is it? It's a serious thing. It's addictive. You will not be able to crucify porn usage with someone simply saying, "You shouldn't do it." There's a book which I'll show you a little later on called Captured by a Better Vision. It's a book written by a bloke called Tim Chester. He gives us 5 helpful steps to take if you want to flee porn usage. I can give you many, 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 many books that will tell you it's wrong, but since we already know that, I'm not going to promote those ones. He helps you understand ways to overcome this addiction. But before we look at these steps, I want us to take the big step of the Bible. Take a step back and look at the whole of the story of the Bible, because the Bible recognises that we live in a broken world, doesn't it? That God made us for something better. God made sex for something better. God made you and I for something better. God made the church for something better. And brokenness happens in our lives. Do you remember that passage we read from Ephesians? We're just focusing on the sex problem. It talked about greed. That's another whole area. We'll deal with it. Well, we won't deal with it. We'll raise it at another time. This sex area, we like to stigmatise as the worst possible sin. Ephesians did not stigmatise it as the worst possible sin. It is one of the many sins that Christians need to struggle with and against. And the story of the Bible tells us that we have been made for something better. And sex has been made for something better. So when you're damaged, when you're broken, you can become something better. That's the story of the Bible, isn't it? At every level of our society, at every level of our brokenness. Broken sex can be redeemed by a God who cares. Broken sex can be redeemed by a God who loves us. And so in that context, because we've got the compelling story of the Bible before us, we should not be happy with just saying, "Well, it's such a big problem, you and I could never deal with it." We have God's grace, we have God's forgiveness. We have the opportunity to be made just as if we'd never sinned. We have the command to live lives worthy of the gospel. God has given us tools. He's given us each other, a church that is to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. We have been indwelt with God's Spirit, so help us obey everything that God commands. So there you go. God doesn't just say, "Here it is, guys. Everything's buggered. It's over to you." So how can we fix the sin of pornography? Flee the sin of pornography. I'm going to follow Tim Chester's thinking. And that will become very obvious because I've got 5 A's and I've never had a sermon that's had the application all have the same letter, because I'm not that smart. The first thing you need to know is that you need to abhor pornography. I would have used the word hate it with a passion, but that doesn't start with A. What do I mean when I say hate it with a passion? I don't mean hate the shame it brings to you or to us. I mean hate it with a passion. You see, hate what it does to you. That's why I looked at what it does to you. Hate what it does to others, the actors, your children, your spouse. Hate what it does to society. Hate the way women and men who are made in God's image are treated as objects for sexual satisfaction. Hate what it does to those, the relationships that you are involved in with those that you love. I guess I've covered some of that already. And when if you're a, well, how do we define this? See, we're all users, aren't we? Because it's all there. It consumes the world that we live in. And you cannot live in this world without having a stuffed up view of sexual relationships. Come before God on your knees. Ask for God's forgiveness for the destructive ways you've treated the relationships that you have with people. Ask for God's forgiveness for the destructive way that you've treated what is precious to God. The second A, that's just the first one. The second A is to be captivated by God, but that doesn't start with A. Adore God. Be captivated by what God, who God is and what God has offered us. Adore the goodness of God. If you could have anything this world has to offer from now until you die in abundance, it will never come close to what God has offered us for all eternity. Adore God. Adore where God is taking us. God is good for people. God is good for you. Desire him. Have a confidence that what he offers you is far better than anything some scantily clad person could ever offer you. How would I do that? What does it mean to adore God? How do I put concrete expression to that idea? Rather than just say, well, Rick said adore God, I'll sit in my study, my room, my house, my bed, and adore God with the computer on and the phone ready and the... Well, Romans 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So why don't you start adoring God by reading his word and praying? Now, for someone addicted to pornography, that means a lot of Bible reading and a lot of praying, doesn't it? Write things down to pray for. Use your prayer diary. Use your weekly bulletin. Put steps in your play in your life so that you can crucify your sinful desires and you can adore the God who saved you. Listen to good quality Christian music. Read or listen to good quality books. Don't tell me you can't read, because if pornography was in words only, you'd be reading them. Meet with your fellow Christians. I know people who have not been at church because of their porn habit, and if only they'd come, they wouldn't have looked. If you're going to crucify the sinful desires of the flesh, you will need to replace it with doing the stuff that God wants. I hope, and I've given you some ideas. And if you decide not to do that, the Bible says you will be like a dog that returns to its own vomit. That's not all that pretty, is it? The third A, should be assured of God's grace. You see, we can turn around and say, here's the law, don't look lustfully at a woman or a bloke. Don't only look lustfully at your spouse. There's the law. You're all cactus sucked in. But see, God doesn't do that with us. It's whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God in his grace wants to bring us towards something better for all eternity. And pornography is deeply addictive. Be assured that you're loved by God. Be assured that you're valuable to God. God loves you enough to die in your place. Be assured that God is offering you his grace. God wants you to overcome that addiction. God does not want you to destroy those around you. God does not like your sin, but God loves you. So let's get on to the how do we avoid the fourth A, temptation. I think sometimes we say it's wrong, but we want to keep it as close to as possible so that if I get the need, I can just indulge a little bit more. How do you make your porn access harder and harder? Do you fill your time, I mentioned this before, filling your time with the things that God wants you to do, that God loves? That's good. But don't keep your porn access just here in case I need to indulge it. See, if your online device is always in your hand, guess what you're going to do? You're going to access it, aren't you? If it's by your bed, if it's there when you're lonely. You see, if you really want to avoid something, if you really want to crucify it, try putting a nail clean through your phone. That will fix your problem. No, it won't. It will just reduce your access to it, won't it? Don't keep your options open, though. It is okay to get rid of Netflix or whatever streaming device you're using. It is okay to reduce the data on your computer down to 0.5 of a gigabyte per year. It is okay to install accountability software, and I know you can get your way around that pretty easy. But if you abhor pornography, if you adore God, if you're assured of God's grace, then it is okay to actually put in step things that help you avoid it when the need comes or when the addiction arises. Put your computer in an open space. Have you ever thought of getting rid of your computer? Oh, but everyone communicates to me via computer and I can't even access my gov without a computer. That's rubbish. Just go down to the library and use theirs. Go over to a friend's place and say, I've got a problem with porn. I don't want to have a computer at home. I need to look at my MyGov site. Is that okay if I borrow your computer? I want you there. You see, we don't take enough effort to avoid temptation. Let me encourage us. That's what we saw in Proverbs, wasn't it? That if you follow the girl down to the place where she works, you're probably going to end up in bed with her. Porn is destroying you. It's destroying your relationship with God. Crucify the desires of your flesh. Proverbs 5 says, keep your steps far from her. Accountability, it's addiction. It's an addictive thing. And it's very hard, read, almost impossible, to overcome an addiction by yourself. That's why it's called an addiction. We are God's people. We should be accountable to each other. If you face the problem of porn, if you're frustrated with the way even the soft porn has captured your attention, then talk to someone. Have someone who's going to keep you accountable. Maybe some regular catch-up times. Maybe have some list of things to talk through with them. To keep you accountable. But of course, being accountable to everyone doesn't mean zip if you don't abhor it and you haven't smashed your computer or whatever it happens to be that you need to. Now, I feel really excited because I actually thought of an A word that adds on to Tim Chester's. So I'm going to rewrite his book and put it out as Rick Maud's. You need to seek help, and I've called it addictive behaviour therapy. There you go. Isn't that great? Because it's an addiction, because you need help, I think you need help to fight addictive behaviours. Now, that's easy to say, but you know what? I've had lots of problem finding anyone who's working in that world who specialises in helping people who are addicted to porn. I know it's available. There's not much available in Adelaide I've been able to trace down. But you need help if you, are prepared to admit you've got an addiction. If you're not prepared to admit you've got an addiction, just keep hanging in there because you're just going to go downhill until you reach whatever your rock bottom is. So where to from here? The book I mentioned, Tim Chester's book, Captured by a Better Vision, it sounds like a saviour book. It does have a few flaws in it. I'm not going to go into them now. The 5 plus Ricks 1A is really great, but it's not available. Now, you think a book on this topic at this time in our culture today would be available, unless you've got e-books. So that's most of us here. And if you've got a problem with porn, my gut feeling is you've got no problem accessing e-books. I suggest that you grab it, but reading it won't actually fix the problem. It will help you understand some of the bigger problems of addictive behaviour caused by pornography. A website on pornography, that's a great thing to recognise, isn't it? I have a porn website open all the time on my computer. It's called resistporn.org. I highly recommend you actually read it. And when you do read it, you'll realise that most of what I've said has come off there. Because that's really, it's a helpful website. Lots of good resources for parents. Parents are just as saturated in porn as children. There's lots of helpful stuff there. I recommend you go into it. Don't try and escape porn by yourself. I think that's a foolish approach because it's ignorant of the way the brain gets rewired and the way that porn impacts us. But that sounds like I'm saying you've got to tell me. You can if you want to. You've got to want to. Encourage you to tell someone you trust who's going to be able to help you. If you're a female, don't talk to me. No, you can. Sorry, that's a bit rude, isn't it? I wouldn't help you. I'd point you to someone who can. There's lots in that, isn't there? How about I pray? Lord, give us wisdom in living in a porn-saturated society. Give us the courage to talk about problems that we face. Give us the courage to crucify our sinful nature and the things that feed it. Help us to love each other and understand your grace in that context. Lord, we do pray for the victims of the porn industry, and there are many. Lord, we pray that somehow that industry gets shut down. Although it was there in Proverbs 5, it will still be there sometime until Jesus returns. But Lord, particularly for us, we pray that you'll help us to flee it, to admit we've got problems when we do. Help us to know how to navigate a culture that's filled with soft pornography as much as every other sort. We pray for our own hearts, that they might not be led astray. It's so easy to happen. We pray for the courage to seek healing and to help people heal. We pray, Lord God, that your name will be honoured and glorified. And yes, I know there's some things we'll struggle with to the day we die, but Lord, this is such a destructive thing, we pray that you'll help us to take it seriously now. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.